Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. You know what I learned yesterday? I learned, don't use my full government. I'd never heard that before. Did you hear that?
No.
Did you see any of that?
No.
Don't use my full government.
Full government name. Who are you talking about?
Klay Thompson pissed at Kevin Durant.
That's where that came from?
Yeah. Listen, it doesn't matter what we start the show with anyway, does it?
Not
Kevin Durant. Really. Kevin Durant says, hey, the Sixers are better than the team. Everybody's all pissed off about me joining the Warriors. But this lineup that LeBron is joining is way better. Ain't close in my opinion. Joel MVP recently, Jaylen Brown recent finals MVP, Tyrese Maxey all-star the last 3 years. We all know what Brown does. Klay Thompson, never MVP candidate, nothing. 22 points a game. Draymond, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Steph, an MVP just like Joel was. I don't get how the Warriors team is better on paper. Man, Klay Thompson. Hey, man, you good? What you using my full government for?
That's classic
but
KD.
Wait, but why is he saying stuff? Klay ain't never been an MVP at nothing.
Because he's trying to deflect, because he sees an opportunity to try to take some of the stink off of him going and joining the super team Warriors. And I was like, oh, look at him. Yeah. Well, what about LeBron? He's just pulling some Kevin Durant. What about his? About LeBron? His team's even better.
Boy, he's still sniping from his mom's basement.
He is the most petty of all.
Oh, my
God! I mean, I swear to God,
you would think that he'd be just...
Bro, you're one of the all-time greats. Just let it go.
Yeah, I saw a list of all-time greats. Coaches and players all voted, and he was like 13th on the list.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, Kevin, why? I mean, and you know... Klay Thompson ain't been MVP at nothing.
What?
Dude, just why do that? Why?
I have no idea. He's just got to try to make himself look better by trying to diminish his team. Like, really, if you think about it, the Warriors weren't even a good team.
We just woke up Dream Shake, and this is not the way Dream Shake wanted his morning to start.
Fans, okay.
Sorry, Dream Shake.
This guy's, if you don't know your guys, that's his favorite player. If you don't know your favorite player is one of the pettiest players ever to play in the league, ever, I can't do anything with you at this point.
It's just unnecessary.
Okay? It really is unnecessary to take a shot at, really, which was one of the great teams. Kevin Durant's doing the classic individual talent thing, and he's not taking a look as a team. They would rip your head off as a team. They were well put together.
Yep.
Bob Myers knew what he was doing.
Steph was on Draymond's podcast, and he asked him, he said, would you, the 73 win season that we didn't win a championship, would you trade two of them for? And he was like, no, I'm not trading two for one. What are you, nuts? That 73 team, the 73 win season, we were great. That's then, you know what? We won 73 games. So what? We got two. Those two. I ain't trading two for one. That's dumb. Anyway, the Astros aren't dumb. The Astros are good. The Astros with another win last night. It wasn't pretty again, but it was. You know what? They just getting the job done. 7-2. Wesneski was okay, and that was just fine. The Astros win at 7-2 and got a big four-run fifth inning out of it. Yiner's hitting now, bro. Yiner is taking care of business offensively.
Yiner's game all the way around has matured the second half of the season. He's been better. He's been better defensively. He's hitting better. He's been a factor. he's very quietly become a much better factor, and then having Vasquez as your as frankly your winning option, because if you look at the records between the two catchers, they just play better when Vasquez is in from a win loss standpoint. But Yiner's done a nice job. You have Trammell was able to get the home run that he wasn't able to get the night before. He actually got this one. Actually launched one later, and he actually got this one. He got to run around the bases with a real home run, as opposed to the night before when he thought he had one. Touched home plate, dapped up his chest, pointed up to the sky to somebody who he loves, and took three steps and realized, hey, something feels off about this energy.
Yeah.
And like, but dude, you've been out the whole time.
He crushed that ball, though.
He did. It was a rocket. Hey, I mean, it got out fast.
I'll tell you what was good. I do not want to see Yusavage get hurt, but it was good to have him leave the game.
Well, it didn't hurt.
That dude, he can throw now. He can pitch. So he left after two innings. In comes Dallas. Boom, 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 boom. And crush him. They crush him. Anybody named Dallas, it's great to be in Houston and get crushed. Wisniewski was good. Four strikeouts, two walks.
Yeah, he's solid.
Gave up a couple of runs. Just four hits over six innings, just 78 pitches. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. So, nice job. Very nice job by Hayden Wisniewski. I don't know that you're a World Series contender with Hayden Wisniewski as your fourth or fifth starter, but you know what? He just keep on rolling along with him and keep on winning baseball games.
Just, at this point, it's just about winning a division.
That's all.
Just win a division and see what happens.
2.5 game lead and a 3.5 game lead. 2.5 and 3.5 over Texas and the Mariners. The Mariners are just not good. The
Mariners are not good. They got pummeled yesterday, 8-0. They were down 2-0, then it went to 4-0, and then late, I think it was maybe in the ninth inning, where they threw four more on them. It was just the Mariners are a mess. This is a team that made some moves last year and in the offseason. Like, they put money into it, and they're getting nothing out of there. Boy, it seems like that happens a lot in baseball. You know, if you put money into it in basketball, it doesn't always fix. I mean, I certainly don't want to make it sound like it always fixes. But it just feels like we see a lot of baseball teams throw a lot of money at players. I mean, obviously, most notably the Mets. Over the last several years, they just throw a bunch of money at it and think it's going to be fine. And it, like, not only does it not take, you are stuck with a big bill. You're stuck with a big, big bill, and you have nothing to show for it. No wins, no playoffs. In fact, this is the second time the Mets have had to unload some guys because their plan to stock up failed miserably, and they immediately the same year. You remember the Verlander? No, it was not the Verlander. Who did the Mets have to? Who did they have pitching?
They had Verlander and Scherzer.
That's right. It was Verlander. Yeah. That's where the Astros got him from, the Mets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he came back the second time.
Yeah, the second time was from the Mets. I was trying to remember if it was the Mets, and it failed miserably. Those guys were gone. Both of them were gone before the trade deadline in the same year they were signed. And frankly, that was probably the last Verlander year, really. I mean, the Astros got him, and that was really it. I mean, Justin was just downhill from there.
Yep. So, 2.5 game lead, all nice. Astros win. They got a day game today. See if they can continue this run of winning series after the opener, the first series out of the block against the Orioles, losing that one.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you got Hunter Brown. Against Tylon. That's a local guy. And Hunter Brown versus a local guy, Jameson Tylon.
Got to feel good about it.
Yeah. His birthplace says he grew up here, right? This says Lakeland, Florida is where he was born, but I'm pretty sure he grew up in the Houston area.
I don't know, but I think you may be confusing him with somebody else.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think maybe. Well, this says birthplace.
Yeah, that's just birthplace. I'm pretty sure he grew up here, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he's been around quite a bit. Pittsburgh, New York, and now Chicago.
Yeah, you're right, John. He was in the Woodlands.
He was in the Woodlands, okay.
Well, it's kind of from here. It's the Woodlands.
The Woodlands is here?
It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours away.
No. I play golf all the time in the Woodlands. Don't
denigrate
the
Woodlands. It takes a long time to get there.
Those are my peeps up there.
It takes a long time to get there.
The C-dub. That's Those people are they're good people, good hardworking.
I didn't say they're not. They're not people. The Amish. You make them sound like they're churning butter and lifting up A-frame houses with horses.
They love their neighbors, okay, and they will go over with.
Well, hello, neighbor.
Yeah.
Welcome to the woodlands where we have corn is abundant here.
Yeah.
And we've got our own candles are made here. Our wives in their bonnets are making a lunch for you right now. We just need to put the oxen away out in the shed.
Pasture. Mm-hmm. Not in the pasture.
That's not how they are.
That's how they are.
The woodlands people
chop down trees and they build each other
cabins.
They're
not that. They're not that. This isn't an hour and a half outside of Philadelphia. It's okay. Not where we are. These aren't Quakers.
Listen, there is those are good, hardworking people. Love those people.
I got a beef with this show that we're doing right now.
What is it?
I've got beef with this show over the last 3 days. Have you noticed that Dell has just decided, I'm just going to.
Yeah, well,
fussing. What's his deal?
It takes him a while to wake up.
No, this is not even it. The last several days, he's just been in there and he's been pouting because something happened at the Odyssey. Someone touched him inappropriately at the Odyssey or Spider-Man.
Or the Spidey movie.
Something bad happened.
Maybe a spider bit him.
Something bad happened at Spider-Man.
You mm-hmm. think it's improper or proper to joke about molestation? You asked for it. Now you got it.
Excuse me, father
of multiple children.
Yeah.
Do you think it's proper to joke about molestation?
If it's on you, it's...
Oh, that's okay? You think a black man should be assaulted in a
movie
theater?
Oh, now he's going to the black man to make it worse. I know your moves, Del.
Do you think it's proper to joke about a black man being assaulted at a movie theater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Deer Park or wherever you're from?
I'm not from Deer Park. It doesn't matter where I'm from.
It matters.
Those are good, hardworking people, too.
Oh, and Deer Park? I forgot.
Yeah. So when you start to use
he's
your
from
words,
Lake Jackson. Is that, are they good, lake, hardworking people on Lake Jackson, where he's from?
Oh, hey, we had a great, great suggestion yesterday.
What?
How about Jason? Jason said this, at the listener appreciation party, we need to have a sexy hot dog eating contest.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
But only women, no guys, because that was really, really,
okay, that's not the worst idea I've heard. Dale's shaking his head no. But remember, it's kind of, if we put phones in a bag like Dave Chappelle at his concert, if we make everyone put phones in a bag.
And then you never know. If the phones are in the bag, maybe we can play male golf or female golf or food.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing happened at the thing. Like you
and
no
a sexy hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, I mean, if phones are away, yeah, for sure. We could do that.
For those of you who didn't see it, there's a video of a guy eating a hot dog and
he's not intentionally trying to be sexy. He's eating a hot dog. Somebody's sniping him with their camera from far away and he's just there were too many steps in the finishing of the hot dog, of the eating of the hot dog. There's like preparing is a good word for it. It's hard to, if you didn't see it, it's a little, you know how you eat a hot dog, you grab it, you put it in your mouth, you bite it.
It's kind of like hot dog eating foreplay.
It's not foreplay of the hot dog, Dell. He's yelling out foreplay. You want to do that? Do it on the air. That's what I'm talking about.
I did it.
That was a good line.
I didn't hear him, and I did it.
You did what?
Foreplay. I said it.
Oh, you said it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's terrible. But it's accurate.
But that's a pretty good. Well, hey, you know what? We have a pair of tickets to give away. We got two pairs to give away because we didn't give it away yesterday. And all day long, you can go to the app and get to the listener appreciation party. Just register for the contest. It'll be all day from 7 till 6 p.m. And we're giving away tickets right now, as a matter of fact. It's 713-780-3776. You want to go to the listener appreciation party. Caller number 4 is going to get in. 713-780-3776. So you can get in with us and get to the listener appreciation party. That's going to be fun. It's going to be at where is it? We're going to, oh, my God. The
St. Arnold.
St. Arnold.
Yeah.
St. Arnold's.
We have our own special little room there.
Yeah, we got a – it's great. It's a
it's
great
a big
party
room, too, so it's yeah. it's plenty of space.
Yes, plenty of space. We're going to have fun. We had fun last year.
Apparently a sexy hot dog eating contest is going to happen.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
Just a bunch of dudes eating hot dogs.
No, I don't have to do that. Oh. A sexy – no. If we're going to do a sexy hot dog
eating contest. We better make sure women are invited then.
Well, bring your girl.
Okay.
Paul apparently heard the segment that we
he
did.
He always
the other day.
Hears it. He's going to hear you saying these things.
I said stuff about the girl that he brought last year. I didn't I just didn't believe that she would be with him. That's all.
Yeah.
And he heard it, and he's not upset with me like Klay Thompson is. You see that? There's a way to do things.
You did use Paul's full government. Also,
I did. I used his
Paul
full
Gallant.
Government. Yeah. Well, because. People wouldn't know if I just said Paul.
Yeah,
it was Paul Gallant, and he brought somebody that you would want to watch eat a sexy hot dog eating contest.
I think he'd prefer people didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to talk about him like she wasn't with him. She was paid for. She was a woman of the evening.
I didn't say that.
That's what you inferred.
I didn't say that.
You asked if he had to pay for her.
Asked.
That's implied, inferred.
Well,
it's
but listen,
clearly
it doesn't mean
stated.
That you're a woman of the night. You just got a little cash that night. All right? Hey, will you go with me? Here's some money. Not do all the other stuff. Here's some money. Okay?
Jason's already got nominations for the hot dog eating contest. His own contest. We're not doing this.
No, we're not doing that. We're not naming names.
I mean, if they come and then if it happens, then it happens.
Right.
But we're not going to put them out there like that.
Right. 713-780-3776. Jadeveon Clowney had some interesting things to say. We will hear from him from camp yesterday. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell at 713-780-3776. We'll get to Clowney in a minute, but the shortest wait times in the history of radio right here on the show. Let's get Gus. It's Gus, right?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I do have a sports question, but I wanted to ask you something beforehand. Is it not back to week school in Houston like it is up here in the Midwest this week?
No, not yet. It's not back to school
okay.
this week. That's early.
Too hot.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Now, football teams are practicing, but you mean kids go back to school?
No, yeah. So a little background. I got a 10-year-old stepson. Trying to turn him into an Astros fan. Listen to you guys all the time in the morning. Taking him back to school first day today. Turn on the car, and the first thing I heard is Dell asking, "Do you think molestation is something to joke about?"
Yeah, see, that's Dell. That Dell brings these kind of topics to the show.
Yeah.
That's why he can't be trusted.
Well, I think that also. Then the next thing was, how about a sexy hot dog eating contest?
Yeah,
so,
and
was that
John.
Me too?
And that's John.
Well, but you. You said something about it yesterday. So.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you.
No, I didn't.
and your 10-year-old is headed to school?
Well, that's right, because you weren't in on that. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's first day of school today. First day of school.
No, where our kids don't. God, this is early. When do they get out? See,
yeah.
HISD kids didn't even get out until June. It's stupid.
Yeah, we didn't.
Oh, wow.
Here's the problem, Gus. We didn't know. What state are you in?
I'm in Indianapolis. I've called a couple times before.
Yeah. Gus got the restaurant, John.
Well, we didn't know that Indianapolis would be listening in
early
this
morning. To be in school. Holy crap!
No.
Yeah,
y'all have a winter.
Do
you guys have a winter break where they not winter break? Do you have a fall break or whatever?
Yep.
We don't really get those.
Yeah.
How long is it? Is it a week?
Yeah, all that. Winter break is 2 weeks. Fall break is 2 weeks.
Fall break is 2 weeks, and you got winter.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's probably why you're starting in August.
That's awesome.
Early August.
August 5th. That is early. Those kids in, when do they get off?
I think the kids in Houston, I think they go back in the late, like August 18th or something at HISD at least. Not this early.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not this early. Oh, wow.
So my sports question is, you know, you guys always, we talk about you guys, their succession plans for, like, Tillman's got his son working for the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Cal with the Texans. Is there anything, like, does Jim Crane have any kind of succession plan or family that's going to?
Yeah, his son is the president of the team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, I did not know that.
He took over for Reed Ryan back in, like, what, 19, John? Yeah. After the 19 season?
Yeah. He's the business side of this. I think still, I'm not sure. I know he did. He took over for Reed.
But, you know, his name never comes up, though, John.
No.
By the way, Gus, school starts August 12th. August 12th here. So it's coming up in a week.
A week.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, my daughter's a teacher at HISD, so I totally forgot about that. But she's back in school now with all the in-teacher stuff. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Hmm. Well, this is actually.
Oh, you got your daughter is here. She's a teacher here. Nice. And you got a.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
You got your second life going on up there, huh?
Well, John, little funny background. My first wife was. We were listening to the show way back in the day when I was still in Houston, and then you went in on a Hawaii rant a couple years ago, and my ex-wife was of Hawaiian descent, and then that same day you started talking about Puerto Ricans aren't really. Citizens, which obviously I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
and so
he's the most
offensive. Got the look from my ex-wife. Like, what are you doing listening to these guys? I'm like, man, I've been with these guys for a long time. And then today, as I was, I'm looking to the passenger seat. Got my girlfriend looking at me right now. So I think you're on the way to ruin my second relationship, there, John. I really appreciate that.
So wait a minute. What did I say about Hawaii? I love Hawaii. I've never been.
It was so long ago. I can't remember. It had something to do with like. Baseball or something, obviously having to do with sports, but
I remember
it was a rant about Hawaiians, and then literally the same breath, you just went into Puerto Ricans aren't really citizens, which I appreciate that.
I'm pretty sure I never said that.
The problem.
My grandfather served in World War II appreciates that, and my dad served in the Korean War.
Oh, man, he's just laying it on him.
Purple Heart.
A Purple Heart!
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I skipped.
No, I skipped, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry that you were Puerto Rican. I don't remember.
Me and Puerto Rico have gotten along.
Sounds like something you 100% would say. Like, they're not really American.
In that tone that he uses. Yeah.
Now, the Hawaiian thing, I don't remember that. I don't recall. But if Gus heard it on the air and his ex-wife got a little hot about it,
it definitely happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
did she feel? How did she feel about male golfer, female golfer food?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say before I go, because I do have to walk into the school line, I do want to say that this is the best, most violent relationship I've ever been in. And, you know, it's probably the most abusive relationship I've ever been in over the last couple of decades.
So yeah, not with us.
Correct. Yeah,
with John.
Right. With John.
With the problem.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Gus.
I'm not the problem.
You are an abuser, though. You are abusive on the show. You're an abuser in general.
You don't know what
with listeners.
How your words are going to strike people.
He's delightful with Wendy because he doesn't want to take any chances.
No.
But with us, he bottles up all this stuff for everyone else.
I give the Cajuns their due, okay?
Yeah, but you're not messing with me, Wendy.
Not Wendy.
You tread really lightly around Wendy. So what do?
People.
You take it out on us. It's like when the dad at on one of those on one of those after school specials has, you know, he's got it rough at work and they're really down on work, and he comes home and he gets all liquored up and he comes in there with the belt late at night.
Sounds
he gets
like
home
me.
From the bar.
Yeah.
You do. It's like, you know, metaphorically on the show.
How many listeners have to explain that to their significant others that John's actually a pretty good guy? How many times do you think that's
happened?
Oh,
it's happened so many times. Just so they could keep listening to the show.
Yeah, I know. I've met him at a couple listener
he's
events.
He's not as bad
he's
as he comes off.
He's not as bad as he sounds. He's a pretty good guy.
He's better than he comes off. This is mostly an act.
How many explanations have to
this
be
This is
had?
Mostly an act.
Wait, why do you like this show? Why are you going to the listener
why
party?
Why are you listening to this?
Oh, that's just John. He's a really good
says,
guy
if
you ever get to meet him.
He says stuff like this just for effect.
That never
happens.
That has to happen.
No.
A lot. particularly for lifers.
Gus just told you it happened.
We like him.
Gus just told you kind of broke up his first marriage.
Particularly for lifers who have listened for a long time, and if they enter into a new relationship, now this person's riding in the car, so the relationship is furthering, and they got, John's just like that. He's actually a great guy.
He's actually a great guy.
Yeah, I'm a really good guy. He's a really good guy.
I'm a great guy.
I can't imagine how many times that's been said.
So the first day of school, I'm sorry, is actually August 10th. So I guess kids aren't going back to school fast. Ooh, gross.
August 10th is, kids, why would they go on Wednesday?
Their school is not, they do not have a lot of time off. They get like 2 months off.
Yeah. Well, Indianapolis, probably they need, more school, more education.
No, Indianapolis gets extra days. We only get, I'm talking about HISD.
Yeah,
it ends in early June, and they're started back up in August. Now, get on.
Have you ever been
to
Indiana? Kids need more.
Here we go.
They're getting less schooling. They're taking summer. They get 2 weeks fall breaks.
Look at him. He's at it again.
Here we go.
These dumb kids.
Yeah, I mean, man.
Nothing against your kids, Gus. All right.
Gus is in a perilous spot. He's a step.
He is.
He's a stepdad.
Right now, she's looking at him, going, "What?"
And he's
listen to what he's saying now.
He's probably actually. You're probably
listen
lucky.
To what that a-hole's saying now.
He said he had to get into the line for school, so maybe none of this is being heard. But you have put Gus in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm. Gus, sorry about that. When I come, I'll come eat at your restaurant.
Right? Yeah. When are you gonna be an indie?
Never.
Yeah.
I'm a great guy.
I'm actually a great guy. We got a break.
You
got
to cut that, John.
Thanks
version.
For the call, Gus. We appreciate it. When we come back, Jadeveon Clowney and what he had to say. Kind of funny why he left. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Dan?
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I don't know if it's trending on your guys, but did you see the video of Justin Herbert and Madison Beer on the practice field? I want someone to look at me the way Justin Herbert is looking at Madison Beer while
he's
playing with his hair.
Oh, he's cooked. I told you under on wins for Chargers. Yeah. I told you that already.
You know, there was a stat. We'll get to the clowny thing. There was a stat. Well, Colin Cowherd came out with this. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. But at least every year, at least four new teams in the playoffs – an average of six every year. An average of six. So every year, there are four new teams. Four teams in, four teams out. At least. An average of six. I didn't realize it was that high. I know the NFL, I think that's why the NFL is great, is because, and it makes a difference, the scheduling, having a first-place schedule versus a last-place schedule. It makes a big difference. But there is turnover. So every fan base, not like baseball, where the A's don't ever get there. You know, there's so many teams that just don't get there. You're in Pittsburgh, you ain't getting there. You know, you just got so many organizations that just can't get there. In football, you know, it flip-flops all the time. Even the smallest markets, Carolina, they make the playoffs. Green Bay makes the playoffs. Not only makes the playoffs, but they have great teams.
Right.
So, that's why I think we love football, is because everybody's got a chance if you do it right. If you can put together, or you get somebody who can put together an organization.
There's actual real hope.
Yes, yes.
There's real hope, and your geography and size of city and size of radio and television market does not dictate your chances of winning.
And we, I've got thoughts, and we can do this later if you want. Is who will be in and who will be out this year? Who will be in and who will be out? But that was I was shocked at an average of six teams every year, new teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's built the best way. I mean, yeah. And it's because they have fewer games, it's easier because everything is centralized. So your TV deal is centralized. The money is centralized. So you have, the money is now some owners have, like, notoriously, Jim Irsay did not have the cash that some of the other teams have. So they're not cash spenders. And so free agent-wise, you'll see all this free agent space that the Colts have. Jim Irsay wouldn't lay out that amount of cash in free agency. So the Colts weren't buyers up to the number that they could have been. Other teams have that kind of actual cash. Because remember, when you make a deal for a player, you have to be able to put that amount of guaranteed money in escrow. You can't just like, yeah, I got it. We'll take care of it down the road in 3 years when that contract, you know, when his third year of his contract. No, you have to pay in escrow for every year that's guaranteed on that contract. So if a contract is guaranteed for $140 million, or Darnell Wright, for example, just did a deal. He's the highest paid right tackle in history for the Chicago Bears. His deal has $95 million of it is guaranteed. The Bears have to come up with $95 million to put it in escrow. It has to be. So you got to have the cash. You got to have the cash to do those deals. That's why some teams, that's the big difference. You know, they do share revenue for the TV deals with Amazon and Netflix, but you do have to come up with the cash. So
I don't feel like free agency is nearly as important in football as it is in baseball.
You have to have smart free agency in football.
Right, right.
Yeah, you can spend big, but yeah, you're probably right because I think the reason is because the draft allows you to rebuild baseball.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, it's a little sketchier.
It takes so much time.
If you want to draft high school kids, it might take 3 years for them to be ready.
And NBA, a lot of times, just has three or four players that can actually play.
Yeah.
In the league. Right. All right, let's get to Clowney.
Hey, before we're going to get to Clowney, I also want to mention, keep it right here because Mike Sando's quarterback tier list came out. He's going to come on the show Friday. But his quarterback tier list came out. And at 8 o'clock, I'm going to give you the tiers of – he is the most plugged-in insider that you're going to read, a columnist that you're going to read. No one else is more plugged in than him. Mike Sando is – I mean, he gets responses from tons of front office people and coaches across the league. He came up with his quarterback tier list, not with his own opinion, but what people in the NFL said about him. Mm-hmm. And you need to stick around for this. There's going to be some – the league sees some quarterbacks way different than some other people do.
Interesting. We all saw Bill O'Brien, and we didn't have to deal with him. Listen to Jadeveon Clowney when asked about leaving the first time, why he had to leave, why he took off out of Houston.
I don't take nothing personal, man. I always say to my head, it don't matter if they pick me on the moon to play football, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? I can play football. So I ain't had no hard feelings. It was just O'Brien at the time. Man, him bumped heads. And I couldn't really understand because I was an easygoing guy. I was like, all right, whatever you want from me type of guy at this point, especially when I'm 21 years old, 22 years old. I was just taking people's advice instead of really looking in the mirror, trying to figure myself out. I was listening to other people. As I got old, I started saying, just take care of yourself, Clowney, and, you know, and it's going to work out for you. And I started doing that when I left here. That's how I think I lasted 8 more years in the league, where I just started taking care of myself and, you know, developing my game and having fun with it.
To be fair, Jadeveon was not a worker. I mean, Bill O'Brien, it was time to get rid of him before paying him. He was not a worker. Mm-hmm. Jadeveon Clowney, he even told people that he didn't put enough time into the game. He kind of alluded to it there. I'm not sure what a lot of that meant. He took advice from other people. I don't really, he didn't expound on. The fun part is, you know, O'Brien and the whole place laughs. That's what Bill O'Brien's tenure has been. We all just know, like, we're all like, oh, man, those are the bad old days. Those are the Steven Coutinho of the Astros, I could come up with before they got James Harden, the Rockets were in a real pickle for a while, but the Bill O'Brien era was so, God, we just laugh about it now.
It wasn't
funny at the time, though.
It was hard to root for that team, hard to root for those teams with Bill O'Brien at the helm, honestly. As you know, when they went on that run and won however many in a row, and it was like, who cares? I mean, it's just too hard to root for you. And Clowney was like, you know, it was just O'Brien. That's all. I had to get out of here. and who didn't? Who didn't at the time? And of course, O'Brien didn't want him because he wasn't a worker. So I don't know what advice he was taking. Maybe he was taking advice from people. Don't work too hard. Just, you know, cruise through.
You know, my dad saw him at Danny Arnold's place. Danny at the time was training, you know, he had physical therapy place. And Danny's longtime trainer here. Danny actually is one of the big trainers early on before Exos and these mega facilities started to get college prospects ready. I was able to go watch Peanut Tillman and Charles Woodson and although Charles was already in the league, I didn't see him train, but he would come back to work out. Casey Hampton, Sean Rogers, Derek Johnson, Haloti Ngata, Julius Peppers. They all came and trained pre-draft right there in Stafford and Sugar. They all trained here because Carl Poston was their agent. And Danny had Jadeveon Clowney out there years later, obviously. And my dad was working with an offensive line, and my dad said he was talking to Clowney. They were just talking because I like Clowney. You know, I had good conversation. And Jadeveon admitted, man, I'm starting to get along in my, you know, I'm like 28 now. At the time, he was about 28, and he said, I got to start working on my game. Like, I don't know enough pass rush moves. And he was kind of self-reflective that he really hadn't put enough time into his game in developing who he was as a pass rusher. He just used his little inside move and didn't really tighten up his game until it was too late. And I wonder if he has regrets about that. He's made a good living, and he's lasted in the league, like he said, but I wonder if he has regrets. I mean, he's a 12-year vet, but if he thinks, God, I wish I would have actually worked on my game harder. I know David Carr had regrets, he said, when he didn't learn to what it meant to approach an NFL, you know, to get ready as an NFL quarterback. He didn't know what it even meant until he got to the Giants with Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin. And that was like, dude, that was like, oh my gosh, 9 years into his tenure as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah.
Clowney has to have some regret that he didn't put the time in to work on his skill.
Yep, absolutely. He did also say why he was coming back. And, well, the difference in coaches, there's a huge difference in coaches. We also got a good Al Shaier bite on Rutledge. And good stuff, good stuff. We will get to that. And Clowney on why he came back. 713-780-3776. If I've insulted you in any way, shape, or form, you're more than
welcome.
Or
your loved ones.
And still ahead.
Or your loved ones.
Or your loved one. And still ahead, we've got that quarterback thing, yeah, Mike Sando quarterback thing at the top of the hour. And a reminder that tomorrow we are giving away two spots in our fantasy football league. So you got to keep on listening.
Nice.
Keep listening. Let's do a show trivia, Lance. So we got to think of a good question.
Oh, okay.
From we can do it back in the day from 610 if we, you know.
You want to go that far back?
Well, yeah. So okay. People, you know what? Old listeners might be able to get in.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's include them that they can possibly.
I got a couple right now that I could come up with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We will do that. Yeah. If you want to air out your grievances, this is a show of grievances against John, 713-780-3776.
No, that's not what we're doing. That's not today. 713-780-3776.
Air out your grievances as Gus did.
How did I ruin your marriage? Okay.
Yeah. Whatever grievances you have against John, call in. I want to tell you a grievance I had was against my nasal passages for years and years, and I just figured, well, I mean, it's just, this is the way it's going to be. Then I met Dr. Michael Kaplan, and it all changed with the balloon sinuplasty. Goes in, you're out, you're under, they go in. Well, let me start. You come into the office, and they'll do a scan of your face, and they basically can look into the sinus cavities to see what the issues are. And it's pretty clear, like, some people are worse than others, but I was one of those people. I wasn't the worst he had ever seen, but I clearly was going to benefit from this procedure. And boy, did I ever. They go in with balloons, they inflate them. He can tell you what the process is. I just know that I came out of there, had a recovery time. I was able to go to a World Cup match the next day, just to give you an idea. And I did not miss any work. I had it done on a Friday. But once you recover from that, you start to, oh, that's a little bit better. Oh, it's a little bit better. And as the internal swelling goes down, there's no black eye. There's nothing like that. You start to experience things you didn't. You smell better. I mean, you can, your sense of smell is better. You can breathe easier. You can breathe with your mouth closed. You've been one of those people that you just can't even breathe when your mouth is closed because you're that impacted by your sinus issues. Get it fixed. Dr. Michael Kaplan. That's an ear, nose, and throat office. So any ear issues, nose, throat issues, they've got you covered, and they do an amazing job of clearing up the sinuses. It's a major, we've already had a few listeners who have gone in and had the procedure done. You need to be the next one to go in and see if you're a candidate. It's KaplanSinusRelief.com. Go read about it right now at KaplanSinusRelief.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. We got, who's on the line, Stafford? Let's get Stafford in here. Hey, Stafford, what's going on?
Good morning, good morning. John, I don't have a grievance with you, brother. You keep it real. No grievance with me.
That's most people.
I may have had a grievance. Yeah. I may have had a grievance with Dale. Sometimes Dale just talk about my team. And, you know, it may be constructional criticism, but I could be sensitive about my squad. Mm-hmm.
Dale pisses everybody off. Dell pisses everybody off. So yeah. You know, especially Twitch. Those the smart people on Twitch.
I called in to talk about the Dodgers, but I had a moment just now. When I called in, so a while back, Dell on his show, he was talking about how a lot of people didn't know he was black, right? Mm-hmm. Or and that he sounded white. And me personally, I never thought he was white because of his last name. I'm pretty sure that is African origin. I could be wrong, but I never thought he was white. So I never thought anything about how he sounded. But when I called in today and I spoke to the intern, answered the phone, and I was like, "What's up, Dale?" I thought it was Dale, and then so he kept talking. And I was like, "Oh, this ain't Dale." I was like, "Oh, mm-hmm. maybe he does sound white." But the Dodgers are cheating, man. The Dodgers are cheating.
How are they cheating?
They are giving players contracts, and the contract is like a 50-year contract.
Yeah.
It's happened before in baseball, but I mean, imagine if Jerry Jones could do that. The Cowboys would have everybody. You know, if you're going to pay a player, bro, that contract should have to be fit. I know baseball does 10-year contract. That contract should have to be filled, you know, during that 10-year free agency.
Yeah, it's they're doing deferrals, and it's ridiculous because they have the amount of cash. Like, most teams don't want to put that on the balance sheet because it makes it impossible to sell a team if you have, you know, they have $1.1 billion deferred. $1.1 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. You can't sell a team.
I don't think that they're going to be, these owners are going to be there when Shohei's going to collect that $68 million a year. They're going to sell the team, and whoever gets that liability, they'll accept it because it's, you just bought the L.A. Dodgers. But I really do believe these guys are just like, what the hell? We ain't going to be around for 10 years anyway after this. Magic? I don't know how much longer we're going to be around, but we're going to cash in now, and we'll cash in when we sell the team. Somebody stupid will buy it with $68 million a year that you have to pay Shohei.
Yeah,
they'll still buy him.
I don't know. I don't know if they.
Well, oh yeah, they'll still buy him.
But I'm just saying. I don't think they. You can't have that much on the balance sheet. That's the problem. Is that's a tremendous amount that you are taking on that debt for players who won't, you know, who in some cases won't even be paying.
Well, Shohei won't be there.
That should be off the. You should take that off the buy price, and the buy price is going to be really, really high right now. So, I don't know that anyone's looking to sell it right now. I'm not sure how long.
Well, not right now. Not while they're winning, they ain't selling it.
There's a
lot. When this is over and you got to pay off that $68 million, let's dump it. I'm telling you, this is. And they don't care. They just don't care. They'll put as much, like you said, over a billion. They'll defer over a billion, well over a billion.
It's not going to last. They're going to close that loophole.
Yeah. We'll see this offseason. Yeah, this offseason.
A big tax where the other owners get the money for that, something like that.
The Dodgers have ruined baseball. The Dodgers have just ruined baseball.
They function under a... And, you know, and they got Skubal for way less than market value on minor league should have been.
Yep.
Because no one could pay Skubal. Everyone's like, well, if Skubal's not going to stay here, why should we even be in the bidding? We can't afford to gut our minor league system to rent Skubal.
He started last night. He said, it was like I was making my major league debut. I was so nervous.
He ended up getting a loss. It's six innings, two runs. That's just the typical Peter Lambert.
They didn't score. Really. It's the fifth straight loss for the Dodgers. Yay! Yes, keep on losing, a-holes.
Cheer for.
That's all. All right. College football coaches poll, preseason coaches poll came out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have it, Dell? Do you got any issue with the college football coaches poll from yesterday?
Well, you have to say who
tell
the top 10 are.
In the top 10. Who's number one, John? Who's the number one team in the country?
Ohio State.
That's right. Saying back at quarterback, Jeremiah Smith, the quarterback. They've got a Bo Jackson, a different one, but the running back is back. Their season ended with a whimper, if you remember how that game played out in the Cotton Bowl. You want to put Ohio State there. You want to put Texas there. There are no real complaints from me. Georgia could throw in there, too. I'm just listing some of the teams in the top five. I am interested to see what you guys think. Indiana won the title, one of the more remarkable runs over the last couple seasons in college football history, not just modern history, just history overall. They are ranked, I believe, sixth, is it, John?
Six.
Sixth. Okay, no number one overall pick, so Josh Hoover steps in. You lose, I think, your top two backs now. They've done well enough in the transfer portal. They lose their top two receivers as well. I know it's the Cignetti effect, I get it, but are they at the point where they can lose that much NFL talent and we just ride them in at six now? Is that how people feel about them? Apparently the coaches do.
I mean, it is college football. If you win and you win big, you're going to continue to win big.
Except Florida State, who was winning, who looked like they were really good and then became really terrible overnight.
Right. But they didn't have Kirk Cignetti. I think the Cignetti factor is real. Yeah. I mean, anybody that did what he did, turned that program around and goes back-to-back playoffs and wins the championship.
Think about it, though. They lost the first pick of the draft, both running backs, two of their top three wide receivers, their starting tight end, three of their starting offensive linemen, both
they
defensive
lost Pons,
ends.
The DB.
Their linebacker, who's a Texan.
They
now.
Lost their Texas. Starting safety, Lewis
their starting
Moore.
Starting safety,
right?
Lewis Moore, and, Pons.
And Moore, yeah.
Like, they lost a year. They lost,
they
a,
lost
ton.
A ton.
When you think about it. Now, my guess is they portaled up.
They did portal. I'm just, while I'm not surprised, it is interesting that Indiana could lose that many players of that caliber. And the portal, Josh Hoover's a step down from Fernando Mendoza. Now, we didn't know Fernando Mendoza would become what he became, so maybe Josh Hoover's next. And pencil them in as the number six team in the country.
Yep.
It's interesting how the thoughts about them have changed, not overnight, because it took a couple years, but we're just going to say he's going to do it again. So if he is what he appears to be, he'll do it again.
Well, we've seen Alabama teams lose a bunch of players. We've seen Georgia teams lose a bunch of players.
That was in a different era with recruiting because they were locking down five stars class after class after class.
Yeah it's not happening the same way.
But now they're locking down the portal.
that is correct, but there is, well, he mentions Florida State, Mike Norvell. It doesn't have to be as drastic as that, but there's sometimes you just miss in the portal.
Yeah.
You can hit like they did last year.
Yeah.
Other times you just whiff, and the guys you think are going to come in and play well don't play well.
So you want to go through the rest of the top 10?
So it's Ohio State 1, Oregon 2.
Yeah.
Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame, Indiana, the U, A&M 8th, Oklahoma 9th, Ole Miss 10.
I give Texas a real shot to win a national championship this year.
Yeah.
It's funny because Notre Dame, the odds that I saw, Notre Dame is number one. They have the best odds to win the championship.
They're a lock to get to the playoffs.
And C.J. Carr is the favorite with Heisman, which I don't think he's going to win the Heisman, but that's fine. Notre Dame quarterbacks don't do enough statistically to win it, in my opinion.
Well, guys come out of nowhere now to win the Heisman, so.
They do. That. Yeah, exactly. That's why C.J. Right. Carr probably wouldn't win it.
I mean, look at the projected best quarterbacks in college football last year. All of them sucked. All of them. Now, this year, Arch, I mean, Dante, saying, you know, I don't know about Josh Hoover. C.J. Carr, we'll see. Probably. I mean, with their schedule.
He's over there. Is it Sam Levitt in LSU?
Yeah.
In Lane's Sam Levitt offense, is at you're going to have to keep an eye on him.
Yep.
In Lane's offense. We'll see what Trinidad Chambliss does. I mean, we know it's going to be a quarterback.
Mateer.
Even though the best player in college football is by far Jeremiah Smith out of Ohio State.
Chambliss is up there.
Yep.
You know, you got – there's some good quarterback play.
Resident Big Ten ombudsman, Tony, chimes in. Indiana should make the playoff, no question, if you've seen what they have on their schedule. It is – well, certainly out of conference, it's soft as baby bleep. And that's how they scheduled throughout the decade. If you look at their future schedules, they are not acting like a top-tier team because even the ones we take shots at will find a way to get somebody on their schedule that we're interested in them playing at a conference. Indiana's still scheduling, and we'll see if things shift like they are the Indiana of old. This year, now, not a lot could be done. These things are scheduled years in advance. But North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky are their out-of-conference games. Then you get into the conference schedule. You know, you got Ohio State on it, USC, Michigan. So there's stuff there. But I would just have everyone take a look at Indiana's future schedule. And they are still scheduling like they're trying to make bowl games. Like, we need our three that we know we're going to win. Mm-hmm. And then we'll find three in the conference, and then we're in a bowl. I wonder if Cignetti, who is kind of has an approval rating of a perfect one, I think, if he will start to catch it if this continues. Because it turns pretty quickly. People get tired of winners, particularly if those winners never get tested on a national stage.
Oh, yeah. They'll treat you different after you win a national title.
Yeah.
Right. More is expected.
So basically he's got Ohio State. Going to Nebraska might be tough. Mm. He's got Ohio State. He's got at Michigan. He's got USC at home. He's got a very favorable.
Yeah.
He's at Washington.
You're going to find your games in the Big Ten, but those Big Ten teams you laid out will go play out of conference games. Indiana, at least right now, has no interest in doing that, and I think it will be something people take a look at. Maybe not this year. The Cignetti stuff is still on a high, but if they don't switch it up, it'll turn on them. But that's just how people are.
Well, we hate winners.
Yeah.
All right, we got a break. You know who we love? I mean, I tweeted yesterday about I'm sitting in after the round. We're sitting around drinking, and I'm real, okay? I'm not phony. I'm drinking a Coors Light. Not only after the round, but a few during as well. And today could be much more of the same, okay? And that's because, I mean, it's hot. I want to be refreshed. I want to be chill, okay? What does Coors Light do for you? It's chill. It chills, okay? Because it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. And no matter what you're doing,
you know, could be out at the pool. You could be, you know, just after work. You want to have a beer, you know, with your boys. You go home to the wife. Hey, let's sit down and drink a nice cold clean. Let's be refreshed. Let's keep things chill. Okay. If there's even any little tension in the house, let's keep it chill with a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Make sure when your boys come over that you got some stashed in your fridge for them, because they will really appreciate you. I know I will. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.